Today's episode of the About Last Night podcast is brought to you by Gamefly.com. Gamefly has over 8,000 new releases and classic available games to rent from Xbox One, Xbox 360, PS4, PS3, PS Vita, Wii, Wii U, and 3DS, as well as the older systems. Now, as a Gamefly member, I can tell you that it's the easiest way to rent consoles or handheld games that you want delivered right to your mailbox for one low monthly fee. Gamefly also offers the ability to rent Blu-ray and DVD movies as a part of the regular service at no extra charge. If you want to start renting your games and movies the best way possible, go to Gamefly.com right now and sign up for a premium 30-day free trial. One game out specifically for viewers at the following URL, GameflyOffer.com/ALN, and get a free 30-day trial with Gamefly.com. All right? There's a lot of games out there, so why don't you make your life better and play them? And now enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Hey, everybody, Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Thursday, here we are. We made it to another one. Tomorrow's Friday, TGIF, baby. Hope you guys got some sweet weekend plans. I'll keep this short because somebody tweeted at me saying, I love the podcast, but Adam Ray fucking talks too much up top. All right, man, message received. Here's the show. Just kidding, man. I just wanted to get you hard for a second and then fucking give you blue balls because I'm talking more, motherfucker. hope you guys are having a great week. What a great week of shows we've had. We've laid down some amazing ALN eps that are coming up next week. Sal Vulcano from Impractical Jokers on next week. Johnny Resnick from the Goo Goo Dolls back for an amazing episode with songs. He played live on the pod. He never does that, but he did for us. So many great eps coming. Nick from The Bachelor is now confirmed. Zac Efron. Holy shit. Who else? Fucking Chris D'Elia. Andrew Santino. So make sure you're subscribed to the podcast. And again, comment and rate the podcast on iTunes. Helps us climb the charts. And send us those ALN stories and moments and highlights that you love, where you listen to it, why you love it. AboutLastNightPod@gmail.com. And we will read them on the air next week. Today's episode is the live episode we did in Vegas at the Crapshoot Comedy Festival. Couldn't have gone better. Beth Stelling, Ryan Sickler, Chris Porter, all on the podcast and all crushed it. Avery Pearson was there with us too. It was the first time Crapshoot did a, Vegas did a festival with Crapshoot and Zappos. Shout out to them for putting it together. Paul and Khaki crushed it. So much fun. David Tell was there, Bert Kreischer, Josh Adam Myers, Aparna, how do you say her last name? Aparna. There's only one Aparna. She's fucking hilarious. Who else? Kurt Bronneler, Brad Williams, Fahim Anwar. It was so fun. Mark Normand. Such a great fest. This episode was recorded at the Fiesta Room at the El Cortez Casino on Saturday, May 20th, and it was a blast. We talked about everything. Talked about me going to Celine Dion. We talked about crazy Vegas stories. Chris parting with Kid Rock. It's one of my favorites we've done in a long time. Definitely one of the best live apps, if not the best. And you guys are going to love it. So enjoy the hell out of it. And again, tweet at us. Let us know how much you loved it. Hashtag live, ALN Live Vegas. And tweet at me at Adam Ray Comedy, Brad at Funny Brad, Chris Porter at I Am Chris Porter, Beth Stelling at Beth Stelling. Avery Pearson at Avery Funny. Ryan Sickler is at Ryan Sickler. And of course, the podcast at ALN Podcast. At ALN Podcast on Instagram, Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram, Brad Williams Comic on Instagram, AboutLastNightPodcast.com for all your ALN merch. Get those shirts and hats, bring them to the shows, which we have a lot coming up this weekend, for example. Tonight I'm at the Laugh Factory at 10:30, but tomorrow and Sunday I'm with Brad Williams at the Brea Improv in Brea, California. Get your tickets at BradWilliamsComedy.com. Brea, I'm there Friday night, two shows, and Sunday for one show, but Brad is there all weekend. So come out and see us. Bring your ALN merch. We'll take pictures, sign it, whatever you want. Next week, Tuesday through Sunday, I'm at the Reno Laugh Factory in Reno, Nevada, May 30th through June 4th, bringing Sandy Danto and Rachel O'Brien. Super pumped. A lot of new material, a lot of fun to be had. Reno's the shit, even though I got cheated on there 7 years ago. We won't talk about that. Maybe we will. We definitely will. So come out to the shows May 30th to June 4th, Laugh Factory, Reno, Nevada. Tickets at AdamRayTV.com. Return of the Mac, one more episode next Wednesday. Thanks for watching last night. Super fun. Hope we get to do it more. 8:30 Wednesday, Pop TV, Return of the Mac. Set your DVRs and watch it. All right? A lot of great shows coming up. As I told you, so many great guest books booked and in the can. Make sure you're subscribed. Tell a friend. Tell a coworker. Come out and see us live. AdamRayTV.com, BradWilliamsComedy.com for all our tour dates. We're booked up through the summer. Come out and see us. All right? Now that we got all the tour dates out of the way, the Twitter handles, the merch info, the Return of the Mac show info, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast live from Las Vegas with Chris Porter, best-selling Ryan Sickler, Brad Williams, and me, Adam Ray. Oh, and Avery Pearson. Yeah, fucking Avery.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's About Last Night.
Ladies and gentlemen, how's everyone doing tonight? Yeah. Welcome to the Fiesta Room at the El Cortez Hotel and Casino. This is the Craft Jew Comedy Festival. Yeah. You guys ready for the About Last Night podcast? Oh, guys, come on. We're recording. Are you ready for the About Last Night podcast? Yeah. Give it up for your hosts, Brad Williams and Adam Ray.
God, you just hear that walking around every casino. That's just like all Vegas, just all fucking day.
That's the energy before a serious life change happens.
Absolutely, like
the
that,
energy.
Yeah, that's when you get there. No one like loses their fucking mortgage and like, oh, I got herpes from a hooker. Vegas. Yes.
And if they are, more power to them.
You know what? They have a very positive attitude, yeah, and I totally that respect that about them.
Leave Vegas feeling good about yourself is like...
always the goal.
That's like, yeah, that's like rubbing a dwarf's head and not hitting black on roulette.
By the way, that always happens.
Yep, that does happen.
If you rub a dwarf's
head...
Nobody
laughs because they haven't done it yet.
Exactly, because you all thought to yourself, like, wait, I bet you that's real.
Is that a real thing? Yeah.
I bet you that's real.
It is.
And, there was one time when I was at a casino in Temecula, California. If you don't know where that is, you've succeeded in life.
How dare you? I might meet my wife there.
You might.
I will not. No.
There was I was doing a show there, and there was a promotion where I had to host a big blackjack tournament slots. And then as I went down there, some Korean woman started rubbing my head for good luck. And all the other Koreans there were like, "What is something you do?" And then they just, like, they were chasing after me, like they thought it was like a college football tradition, like some college football players. They always like hit the play like a champion sign today. They rub a red rock, or you pat a midget's head and you win in slots. Like that's what they thought it was.
What do you think they would have done to you if they lost? Like, you didn't see them after that, right?
No, I booked it because I didn't want to see that.
Yeah.
I didn't want them to be that, like, lot. They lose and they go, oh, they rubbed the midget head.
Yeah.
There's everything. I'm doing the wrong accent, by the way. I'm doing Japanese, a horrible Japanese accent.
Welcome back to Vaguely Racist with Brad Williams.
Hey, everybody, it's a Vaguely Racist. Hey, how about those Filipinos? They're always like, I do not like you.
Yeah.
Welcome to Vaguely Racist. Yeah. Some of you didn't even know if that was racist. You're like, yeah, those fucking Filipinos.
That's what they sound like.
When
they lose at craps or win. Guys, make some noise for Avery Pearson.
Oh, yeah, guys.
From Showtime in CISO. Right. He'll be playing us some tunes. And Avery's a new dad, by the way.
I'm a father.
Make some noise for that.
That's not bad.
Still came to Vegas.
Yeah. He did not pull out. That's how
babies are made, Brad.
Yeah, but I mean, it's because Avery, like, you had the baby with your wife.
With my wife.
And you were planning the baby. Mm-hmm. Like, that's weird nowadays. Like, now when someone says, like, she's pregnant, like, my first response is, oh. Like, I'm like, oh, no, some people still plan that. Yeah. Like, that's a good thing for some people.
Yeah.
You always have to find out that question.
How are the what are the highs and lows, or the highlights and the lowlights of fatherhood 5 months in?
Highlights is when he smiles at you and you see your face and he you guys know. And then the lowlights.
You're
lights,
like, my dick made that. Yeah. Do you ever think that?
I do.
I would think that immediately. Because that's crazy.
Yeah, it's just been.
That's also why I'm not a dad, because I'm still just like, a penis can make a life, you know?
I think that's, yeah.
Yeah, and I would say that to him.
Yeah. And you have. You've come over and been like, hey, your dad's dick made you.
Yeah, dick made you, man. Yeah.
And then the low lights is the incessant crying, but I try to focus on the smiling and the coming, so that's, yeah.
How do you.
Smiling and the coming? Wow.
I feel like you're going to write a father self help book, and it's going to be like that.
I'm more of a
focus on the smiling and the coming by Avery Pearson.
Sure. Your kid may pee in your face as you're changing the diaper. Yeah. You're not going to sleep a lot. But as long as you focus on the smiling and the coming.
Yeah, then you're okay, yeah.
I believe that was in Oprah's book club one year. It was The Smiling and the Coming by Shel Silverstein. we've had an amazing festival so far.
Yeah, give it up for the Crapshoot Comedy Festival.
We're putting
this on. First time.
It was amazing. They're treating the comics really well. We got to fly here actually on a jet. They chartered a jet for all the comedians to get on, and then of course, like, we're all kind of looking at each other on the jet, going, "We don't deserve this." And then one comedian, I forgot who, started singing La Bamba.
Yeah.
And if you know the ending to that story, we all were like, what the fuck are you doing, man? Like, we were all thinking it. Don't get me wrong. We're all,
like, I think it was Bert Kreischer that was like, if this plane goes down, who gets top billing?
Yeah.
Who's going to be featured on the front page?
And the only reason why he said it is because everyone knows Bert Kreischer would be at the top of that. Yeah. He's like, no one's going to know you guys are dead. Yeah. No one's going to know. Your families are going to not even know. It's all going to be about me.
Yeah.
Pour some Tito's out for me. Like,
That's spot on, by the way.
Yeah,
that's
a great Bert Kreischer.
Yeah. I didn't know I could.
It's way better than your Filipino man.
Yeah,
this is me, a Filipino man.
Oh, God,
don't worry. We will never sell out in Manila.
Nice.
One person.
Yeah, one person. Yeah.
Everyone else is like, Manila. Is that a new flavor? Like mocha vanilla? Is that available in the casino? No, that's.
Had you been on a private jet before? Because you've gotten to do some cool shit in your day, but.
Yeah, I was on. All right, the last time I was on a private jet, I was opening up for Carlos Mencia, and he had a private jet, and I got to take my girlfriend at the time, and everyone was telling her, like, dude, you're on a private jet, like, Mile High Club. This is where it's at. And she was like, no, but now you guys all know that we're doing it. I'm like, yeah, that makes it better. They know I'm fucking at 30,000 feet. That's pretty damn sweet. That's, you know, but then I didn't join the Mile High Club. But yeah, so it was fun, but it wasn't like what I wanted it to be. And nothing like being on a private jet where five dudes are chanting at your girlfriend like, fuck him, fuck him, fuck him. Made her very comfortable. We broke up not long after that.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, but I got to bring my fiance on this one, and we once again did not fuck. Right?
How would you fuck in an airport, an airplane bathroom, by the way?
I would have to stand on the toilet.
Yeah. Right.
Like,
that was my question.
Yeah, I would stand on the toilet, which would still bring me up to about upper thigh. And then I would have to just lube up and jump and hope I hit the right hole.
Sounds like a Milton Bradley game.
Lube up and jump, hit the right hole. Lube up and jump, it's so fun. Lube up and jump. Not for ages under 13. 14, that's fine.
Yeah, the people who always, I mean, you can tell when someone's about to go get crazy in an airplane bathroom, because even when people try to time it out and like, you know, you can see them playing like, okay, I'll get up now, and then you leave like 5 minutes after me. It's like you still know, like, they're both going in there.
Right. And the only time anyone's ever smiling on the way to the bathroom. Like, no one's ever smiling on the way to an airport bathroom.
Yeah, no one's ever
like, this is going to be great. No. Like, no one ever does.
Trying
that.
To take a poop on an airplane with turbulence should be a stunt on the new Fear Factor. That is maybe one of the most. All right. Well, some of you didn't laugh. You haven't experienced the most traumatic 9 seconds of your life. So have you ever been on a plane and tried to take a poop? Yeah, and how did that end for you? The poop went out. of the plane. You pooped in the chute. Yeah.
That,
I didn't ask where the fucking poop went, sir. I asked, did you have a difficult time in general, just with the whole situation? Oh, really?
He's over 50, Adam. I don't know what happens to people, but... Yeah.
Does pooping become an issue, like, later in life? It all becomes an issue.
It all becomes an issue.
Fuck.
Oh, that's what we got to look forward to? Oh, man.
You got to read Smiling and Coming by Avery Pearson. That might turn your outlook on life around.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
She,
all right, we'll take it from here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Fucking.
She's like, well,
the audience
is
going to be spitting
comes,
jokes.
You smile. Yeah. It's like, all right. I mean, I've never frowned when I came before. Like, I've never been just like, oh, this is shitty. Like, that's never happened. I'm usually pretty thrilled when I'm coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like back in my single days when I would hook up with women that were they just wanted to have sex with a little person. They could give a fuck who I was. There's one over there. All right, that's all they wanted to do. And then people tell me like, oh, don't you get mad because they're like exploiting you? I'm like, I'm coming. Like, you can't get mad at that. You're not like, oh, this is miserable. Ugh. Like, that's not. Yeah, now you guys are all gonna have that face.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the visual, by the way, because I've always wanted to know how you do it, and you just hunched over your shoulders like a gargoyle.
Well, sure, that's how you get a good grip.
Yeah,
and but now you've seen a dwarf's O face, so we're all gonna hit roulette tonight.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Like that's absolutely gonna happen.
When's the last time you were in Vegas?
The last time I was in Vegas was last year. Yeah,
okay.
last year. Now. Do you have like a greatest Vegas moment for you?
I mean, I feel like every time Vegas is, if you stay up late enough, you are rewarded with some amazing debauchery, right?
Yes.
So that goes without saying. But yeah. I mean, I've seen some amazing drunk couple fights. You know,
nice.
I mean, I saw, I've seen couples like yelling at each other, like, you didn't even fucking a dojo. And then the dude be like, oh, he's a dojo. Like at 3 a.m. in the lobby of the New York.
Yeah.
And then the dude did a cartwheel in front of his chick. And at the end of the cartwheel went, boom, like he was taunting her with his cartwheel.
Like, what was the fight that led up to that?
Exactly. Well, we couldn't make out any of the contents. He just taunted her, and then she started crying and ran away. And that was, like, at 3:30 in the morning. But usually it's, like, you see fights every now and then.
Yeah.
But the shows now I'm at an age where I like to go see the shows. Like, I went and saw Celine Dion last night.
He did.
Okay.
And
you notice, know, I was
none
looking
of the men
for
are clapping.
A big applause there. Yeah.
Yeah. None of the men are clapping.
Yeah.
You know what? Shame on you. You should be.
Shame on you.
Because she is an American-Canadian treasure. All right?
Let me just say this. Smoke a little bit of a joint, have a couple of tequilas, and go see Celine Dion live her life to the fullest. Because it's magical, her voice. But I will say this. I didn't know that I had a like limit for the in-between song discussion that Celine Dion liked to engage in. But I do have a limit, and it's 14 seconds. That woman decided to use last night's show at the Coliseum at Caesar's Palace as a concert and also an open mic. She tried stand-up comedy. She does, you know, like they say every comedian wants to be a rock star, every rock star wants to be a comedian.
Yeah.
I didn't think that also applied to Celine Dion. Like, she's up there, and look, that French-Canadian accent is difficult enough to understand, right? Like, sometimes you're like, did she say pizza or futon? I don't know what the fuck she just said. I can't grasp it. So she would just be up there being like, and she was all the sorts of tangents. I took some clips. Right. I'm going to...
Basically, when you see Celine Dion... All you want is for her to end the song and then go, and now, time for I'm Your Lady, and then fucking sing the next song. Yeah, I went deep cut, okay?
All right, ready?
That's what I did.
So in between these songs, she would just go on these rants, and every moment she felt like there was an opportunity for, like, some sort of musical moment, she would just sing. So she'd be like, look, this is Dominique, my guitar player. Dominique, I've known him forever, 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 forever. You're like, is that fucking on, like, the B-side track? Like, what song is that? So she'd do these jokes, and none of them really got laughs. And I was the only one, like, in the audience, I think. Maybe it was a comedian, and I'm looking at this being like, bitch, just sing Power of Love. So here's one of the jokes she tried.
I'm so yellow.
She's wearing a yellow dress.
Yellow is my favorite color. Yeah. Celine Dijon.
Celine Dijon!
She likes
What the fuck? What are you doing?
You don't do that. She's making mustard jokes.
She had the balls. Like, oh, God. Like, and then she even made a face like, look, and you get it? Like, afterwards, like... Like heard a mustard joke in a while.
Paid
$100 for a mustard joke before this Titanic theme.
Like the only you should never hear Celine Dion and mustard in the same sentence unless you're playing like the Vegas performer game of Clue. Okay, so just yeah, and like that. But like we're professionals, so we're looking at everyone in the audience like this is not funny.
Yeah, I'm taking offense
to
it. You get very like prideful about I guess, struggle of stand-up comedy. So to see her up there just being like, oh, I've got a stage and a mic. You know what? Time for my mustard material. I got, like, genuinely, like, upset about that. But then she'd launch into, you know, and that's the way it is. I was like, all right, I forgive you.
Talent will do that.
Yeah. Apparently she dropped a lot of personal facts in between songs. She's like one of 14 kids. Anybody else know that?
Well, shit. We're all jealous of you now.
Yeah. She said that her mother said she was an accident because she was one of 14 kids.
Oh, that's a good thing to hear.
She just dropped it in casually. Like, again, you're like, is this fucking therapy? Like, she'd be
and
like,
then my mother said, I never wanted you to be born.
Anyway, 2, 3, 4. You know. It was a that part of it was entertaining. It was like you were always on the edge of your seat because you didn't know what the fuck she was going to say.
Oh my God!
Have you seen any show like that out here that's just blown your mind, or is there somebody on your Vegas show bucket list?
I saw Blue Man Group, and Blue Man Group. First of all, being a midget walking into a Blue Man Group show, everyone just looks at me and goes, "Oh, he's part of it."
Like, yeah. What's he doing in the audience? Why isn't he backstage getting into costume?
He should be painted blue right now. Like, I don't get it. Like, he should be painted in blue, dancing out front of the thing, just going, la, 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 la. Like, that's what should happen. And that's what I figure as a dwarf is I can walk on stage to any Cirque du Soleil show, and they'd just be like, yeah, that's supposed to happen.
Wow.
And right.
So I guess my follow-up is, why haven't you done that yet?
Yeah, just like run and jump into the pool and and everyone's like, well, first of all, it's a midget swimming. Never thought I'd see that. Thought their heads were too heavy. I didn't realize they could still float. So just the sheer achievement of that, we should be celebrating. Sure, he did 900 flips and then did a perfect dive, but he's doggy paddling. And
that would be a great reality show competition.
Can this swim?
I mean, I was going to get more specific.
All right, like, first of all, we have a dwarf. Call 1-800-555-2624 for yes. 1-800-555-2628 for no. He cannot swim. The no's are winning. All right, and then we throw the midget. He's not swimming. Okay, he's not swimming.
They just throw you in the pool? That's so violent.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how else are you going to find out if I swim?
Yeah.
But the thing is Vegas is obviously a wonderful city. It's great. Any form of entertainment, any form of food. But Vegas is, you know, stepsister that always gets forgotten, which I think is a tragedy, is Reno.
How do the Vegas people feel about Reno? Is it like, it sucks, huh?
How dare you?
Because like they try, like it's a smaller version, I guess. I mean, they don't have the
smaller versions of things can be better.
You know what I meant.
But like, I did a gig in Reno a few weeks ago. It was fantastic. I drove there from Los Angeles. The drive is amazing. There's land as far as the eye can see. It's clear. There's lakes. There's a mobile station that serves buffalo meatloaf. That's one of the best 10 meals I've ever had in my goddamn life. And that is real. And normally when someone says, hey, go to the mobile station for some buffalo meatloaf, you're like, oh, that's gay code for something, right? Like, that's
the Buffalo Meat House. What
yeah,
is it?
I'm not going for Buffalo Meatloaf. Yeah. I'm a power top myself, so I'm not going for the Buffalo Meatloaf.
I have read your blogs.
Yeah, but I had a fantastic time in Reno. Now, what's your experience been with Reno, Adam?
My experience with Reno, I've been there for gigs, but Reno is a special place in my heart because it was the city where I was dating someone where I first got cheated on.
Aw. Sentimental.
I was expecting more of an from the group. More of a collective, aw. And you're still here?
Too late! late. It's too late.
Save your pity for another podcast.
Deaf ears right now.
But look, I mean, I think, you know, first, everyone should get cheated on at some point.
What?
Yeah. You just need to, you need to go through something like that to figure out, like, who you are. And
you know, I'm kind of mad, but when I had a girlfriend that cheated on me on the reality show Millionaire Matchmaker, that's a true story. Yeah, I think that made me a better person. Yeah. I thought, oh, don't date reality stars ever. Fucking never do that.
Yeah, you end up listening to like a lot of, you know, Beyonce, independent woman, you know, powerful message music.
Lord knows I did.
But the first time, I mean, you know, like obviously like sixth grade, eighth grade type. Like the first time I really was felt cheated on was in eighth grade. And I was dating this girl, Erin Domingo, a Filipino girl.
Yeah, she took it like this.
Yep, son, just like that. Yep, that was her.
Adam Ray, I find you are so attractive.
Very unattractive when we fucked. And so, eighth grade, we weren't doing that. And so, I show up to school one day, and a buddy of mine named Jess was holding hands with her and walking down the hallway. We've been dating for like, what, 3-4 months? So not enough to really get too emotionally invested. But, you know, you're 14, so you're still like, oh, this is so new, and I don't know. Like, this is, I'm getting boners, and I don't know what to do with them, but I feel like I want you to help, you know. And and she's walking down the hallway, and she's holding hands with Jess. And I literally see it from the back, and I was like, what? And he literally turns around and goes, this is happening now. And kept walking, and I kind of had to be like, I tip my hat. That was a great, like, hallway fuck you line.
Yeah, like, that's what a bully in a John Hughes film would say. Like, that's... This is happening now, squirt. You know, like you guys have a little tagline.
But the adult version was she lived she lived in Reno when it happened. And and it was, you know, that was the adult time when it really actually had an impactful, you know, moment. I guess I could tell a story. I guess I'll just sing it to you guys.
It was 2008, a year that should have been great. I was in love with a girl I met in school. She had boobs and a heart. I never heard her fart. And one time we had sex in a Gap dressing room. But then she moved to New York to start a new life. And I knew we'd make it work, 'cause I thought that she'd be my wife. Well, she moved again to a place I'd never been. It was kinda like Vegas, but not at all. She moved to Reno, Reno, Nevada. Well, I didn't even know they had people there. She moved to Reno, Reno, Nevada. They've got a river, dinner place, and that's about it. I went to visit, and it was easy to see that this place sucks. Let's get fucked up. I'm sorry you're here without me. She worked for the news, and when I met her crew, everyone was super nice except for one dude. He wasn't handsome at all. He was just goofy and tall. And when he shook my hand, I knew he would definitely fuck her. His name was Jeff. He was her cameraman. And when she told me, I said, did he shoot your stories in your face? And by stories, I mean come.
Come.
Yeah, no, I got what you meant. Yeah, well, sorry, I'm just trying to make a joke. That's how I'm handling this. Yeah, well, you always make jokes to deal with situations. It seems very immature. Yeah, well, I'm a comedian. That's what I do. This is fucking crazy information. How many times was it, by the way? Like 3 or 4? Yeah, like, I don't know, like 3 or 12. 12, that's way more times than 4. How many times did he do it? Was it just Jeff? Yeah, it was Jeff and another. Yeah, was it more than one? Was it Brian, too? Why is Brian here? But what's up, Brian? Was it Brian, too? How many dudes? What? You know what? Look, there was a lot going on. There were a lot of dicks. A lot of dicks. How many dicks? You know what? I can't handle this. Fuck this. I'm done. Fuck you.
And fuck Reno, Reno, Nevada. You're the biggest little shitty city in the world. Fuck Reno, Reno, Nevada. You're the biggest little shitty city in the world. I hate you, Reno, Reno, Nevada. Unless it's to kill Jeff. I hate you, Reno, Reno, Nevada. Everyone, you're the biggest little shitty city in the world. You're the biggest little shitty city in the world.
Guys, so, Avery Pearson over here.
Yeah,
let him know
Adam
one
Ray,
time.
Brad
come
Williams,
on.
Yeah.
So you guys are still together?
We're still together.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's sweet. It turns
around. We've got two kids, Avery Jr. and Ben Brad Sr.
What?
Can you name somebody a senior when there's no junior?
I guess you
can.
Yeah, I guess it's your kid, right?
Yeah, do whatever the fuck you want. Yeah. You can name him Brad's taint for all I care.
Oh, wow.
Duly noted.
ladies and gentlemen, it's not just us acting like idiots up here. We're going to have some amazing guests, and our first guest is certainly one of those. He has a very popular podcast. It's The Crab Feast. Make sure you download it. He's an amazing, talented comedian. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up, Mr. Ryan Sickler.
Let him hear Ryan Sickler. Live in Vegas. It's producer of the goddamn Comedy Jam on Comedy Central, the one and only Ryan Sickler. Let him hear it. Come
on. Thank you so much.
Ryan Sickler, everybody.
I have never toe-tapped to a song shitting on a city in my life. God damn. I was back there like, fuck Reno, Nevada. Like, I was right in on that.
We're taking it on tour, everybody. We're gonna be the next boy band. We're going to get some great choreography and a whole lot of spandex.
I mean, I would pitch it to Celine, but I know she'd fuck it up with 25 minutes of stand-up
beforehand.
Well,
you had me fired up with that goddamn Dijon fucking joke. Of course, you went with the French fucking mustard, too, that bitch. But then you brought me full circle on Reno, Nevada. Like, I got to take my anger out in a happy way on an entire city, and goddamn, felt fucking good.
You've been to Vegas many times, yeah?
I've been to Vegas many times.
Does the experience change for when you come back, or do you have, like, a kind of a rhythm and routine?
I don't have a rhythm and routine. I think, like, each time I come to Vegas, it's either for comedy or for pleasure, or sometimes I'll write, do something here, like a produce on something. So each experience...
We get it. You have a great career.
Okay. Always different. Yeah, I'm diverse. But each experience is a different experience, yeah. I'll tell you this. This is the honest truth. I'm not sucking ass here. This has been the best time I've ever had in Vegas in my life.
Yeah.
Wow. This festival here...
No shit.
Crapshoot Comedy Festival.
I mean, they've literally rolled out the red carpet. It has been fantastic to be brought here on a jet, to have our own rooms, all that stuff.
To have a roulette.
Say jet. It's a private jet. It's not like we all just were like, holy shit, you guys know there's these things called planes? I mean, this thing got up in the air and flew us here.
It's amazing.
And then we had a roulette tournament today.
That's the other thing, too, about this festival.
Right here, Paul's mom.
Paul's mom took home the championship.
The goddamn ringer.
Yeah.
I'll say this. When we walked on that private jet, I looked right in the camera and I said, I'm winning that fucking roulette tournament.
So for those of you who don't know, they had a comedian roulette tournament today, and it was about maybe 20 comics. We each got a handful of chips.
It was a comics-only roulette tournament.
Yeah.
But then the shark over here, Vincent from Color of Money over here, comes in. And so technically out of the comics I won, but Paul's mom dusted me over there. I just took all my last chips in the last ditch effort and covered the whole board except for 36, and they were like, 36! I was like, God damn it.
It's always that happens, though.
Now, is that the first time you've lost something to a woman over the age of 30? Yeah, okay, 30.
No.
Do you have a strategy with roulette? Like,
I play birthdays and favorite baseball numbers. Like, I'm Cal Ripken, 33 hit today. Eddie Murray hit. Cal Ripken, number 8 hit. My daughter's birthday hit.
I like how you went the baseball players before your daughter's birthday.
They were here before my daughter. I've been betting on 8s and 33s a long time.
See, I go the number of Celine Dion concerts I've seen and sexual positions that still make me laugh. So I go 1 in 69. And I never win.
But I
went all in, and I lost on the first round.
You were the first person out of the entire tournament.
In about 15 minutes.
Yeah, you really were.
Because I went big. I put, like, all, yeah. But, I mean, so you have your numbers, but then, like, we did actual roulette the night before.
Yes.
Yeah. Myself, Ryan, Josh Adam Myers, and Bert Kreischer. And it was one of those things where, I don't know, somebody had the idea of, like, let's go do 100 on black. It was that point of the night where you're just like, somebody's about to yell out a crazy idea, and we're all about to yes hand it. I think it might have been Bert, or was it you?
I said I wanted to go play roulette because the guy at the craps table, remember, he was old and salty, and he was just a real asshole, and Bert called him out. Bert's like, this is the most terrible crap show I've ever been at in my life. And everybody around there was like, yeah, fuck this old guy. But they were scared to say something. Like, yeah, we're spending our hard-earned money, you old son of a bitch. And they all sort of rallied against him. And then we moved our, you know, we weren't getting appreciated. We moved over to roulette. So we, the four of us, throw $100 each on black. And we hit, and we're all excited, and we're cheering. And Bert starts to chant.
Let it ride. Let it ride. Let it ride.
And if you haven't been a part of that collective energy and chant, like, it is just like, it's invigorating.
Yeah, at that point, there's nothing you wouldn't do if Bert and a bunch of dudes who were your friends were like, let it ride. Yeah. You know, like, you would just do fucking anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I did bungee jumping and I survived.
Let it ride. Like,
go again.
I pulled out. She didn't get pregnant.
Let it ride.
Oh, fuck.
Go back to Reno. No.
No.
Yeah. No.
No.
Except for that. So then we do it another time.
We hit again. We hit a second time. And, you know, now we're starting to cheer a little bit loud. And the table's getting into it with us. You know, we're creating a little vibe over in this area. And then the lady's about to pay out. And Bert again. Let it ride. So we're like, all right, we do it again. And then we hit a third time. And now we're cheering. I mean, we've won $300 fucking dollars. We're cheering like we just won $60,000. I mean, we're hugging. We're crying.
Yeah, dude.
We're high-fiving and shit. We're like
going
spinning each other in slow motion.
Every emotion.
And then we're ready to cash out.
Yep.
And then we hear Bert again. change it up on us. One more time.
One more time.
And Adam had the most strategy. Like, we're just going to leave it there. It's sitting right there. We can just take it. I was like, leave it. And then we hit again. And then we took all our money except when we were about to leave. I was like, you know what? I'm going to leave the original 100 and do it one more time. So dropped the 100 and we hit again. And then we got the fuck out
of
there.
Dude, that was what, five times?
Yeah, it was like 500, 600 bucks. It was fun.
Yeah, so basically what you're saying is if you see Ryan Sickler at the bar, he's buying.
Yeah.
Because
they gave me 200 fake chips today. So get you some fake drinks, y'all. It's all me. Fake tits, all of it. Fake money. You should be able to get fake tits with fake money. You should be able.
Now, Monopoly money?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, you can be able to buy fake tits with that. Now, Ryan, you if you guys need to subscribe to the Crab Feast podcast, it's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, it's one of the best
and
out there.
Ryan is known for being one of the best storytellers in the game. And so now we're in Vegas. So, like, do you have any, like, standout Vegas stories? Like, in all,
I have
in
a really
all
embarrassing one I'd love to humiliate myself with you.
Go for it.
I was here, this is probably 10, maybe longer, years ago, for a friend's bachelor party. So like I said, this time I'm coming in, you know, just to be pedestrian, Brad, you know? So I'm so diverse. This time was pedestrian. And we're all here, and he's like, we're all doing VIP. And I'm not a huge strip club guy, and I've never done the expensive-ass VIP, but we all agree to do this. So I go in, and if you've been in them before, like, there's... dark as shit.
Right, Paul's mom
anything.
That won roulette.
Paul's
you know
mom,
strip
yeah.
clubs.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course.
You know.
She's taking us tonight. She won the tournament. We forgot to tell you that was what had to happen. The winner pays for dances. And it's dark. It's pitch black in there. It's pitch black. And the girl that I'm getting a dance with is a black girl, and she's got these heels that are like this tall and these boots. And
I need to get some of those. I can finally ride a goddamn roller coaster if I got some of those. Fuck you, Six Flags. I'm showing up in stripper heels. Dwarf Lives Matter.
You're right. They don't have a fucking shoe requirement. It's
no,
just
they
a
don't.
Requirement.
They never said the heel can't get you up there.
They didn't say only Keds.
They said
it's just a lie.
It didn't say in parentheses without heel assistance. It does not say that.
I'm doing
you found
shit.
A loophole on that.
I'm going to find her.
But, you know, there's chairs, oversized chairs, and all these girls are doing dances and whatever else you want in there because it's, you know, it's pitch black, dark, and it's Vegas. And
Pitch Black was actually the dancer's name, too.
So we are just getting started. Like, nothing has even happened at all yet. And she decides to stand up on the arms of the chair. Crotch is in my face here, but she's sky high with these big ass boots on. I was like, this is a bold, like, jump out of the gate move. You know what I mean? And she slips.
No.
And that fucking heel hits my ribs
no.
and dices me down the side.
No.
And I just go, oh! They're like, and he came. Yeah. Every fucking dude in there is like, what the fuck's going on? They're bringing the lights up. They're like, Jesus Christ. Like, you see, it's a room like this. And guys are just ducking like their wives are coming in. Like, what the fuck's going on? This is a raid.
Yeah. Lights up in a strip club has to be so terrifying.
Oh, I'm screaming. I'm screaming. Like, this bitch looked like she just butterflied the side of toothpaste and folded it open. That's what my side felt like. And you know when you get cut and it doesn't bleed, but you know it's about to bleed. You're like, oh, this one's going to gush. Yeah. Right here. You know, it's all white and you're just waiting. And then boom. I mean, just out the side of my shirt. I'm
what did
soaked.
She say? Did she react or had she seen it before? She's like, no, this has happened again.
She's like, oh, that's what I'm in. She was in the blood. No, she was super apologetic and embarrassed. Oh, and she, I mean, you know, and then they all came in. They took care of me. And I was like, they're like, let us just. I was like, I don't want any dances anymore. Like. You know.
Yeah. I love that they're like, hey, to make up for it, we're going to have another five coked out strippers come and dance for you as well.
We got a school nurse here in the casino. We're going to wrap that shit up and get you right back in the saddle, buddy. He's like, no, I'm good. If a horse just fucking kicked me in my chest, I'm not going to be riding it right after that. I think we're done.
Where does that rank? Because you guys, again, listening to Ryan's album and the podcast, you'll just know how. I mean, even on the goddamn Comedy Jam, you were working with everybody on their stories for the show. Master storyteller. Where does that
master.
Story? I would say so. Where does that rank in your just catalog of experiences? That one right there. Because that was recent, right?
That was like 10 years ago. Yeah. I would say so recent. I mean, it's just. I mean, I could put a folder together of just strip club stories.
That's my most
embarrassing one.
Yeah.
I mean, I shouldn't be embarrassed, but I was, you know, I fucked up the whole night for everybody. If I could have held in my scream like a man, I think everybody would have had a better night. But I was just like, ah! Like, it went octaves. I got up. I was surprised how high I got.
The whole blood in a strip club is really like, I mean, usually people freak. I was in Alaska. There's only the one time where blood was not really an issue, but it wasn't even blood. I was at this comedy club, and they had really great food there, so I had this fish sandwich after the show, and they put ketchup on it, and I spilled the ketchup on myself, and I didn't realize that, and then they were like, hey, so what are you doing now? I was like, I don't know. What's there to do in Alaska? And they were like, not much. We usually just fucking go look for moose. I'm like, Jesus Christ. So then I went out, and they go, oh, so there's a strip club, but it closes like 20 minutes. You want to go? I was like, yeah, let's go. So we get in there, and I had time for like maybe one dance, so I sit down, and a girl comes over. And about 5 minutes into the dance, maybe less than that, she just goes, she looks down and she sees, you know, the ketchup was on like my like pants and the stain, right? And it was very visible. And she looks down and she goes, you know you're bleeding, right? And I was like, you know you're still dancing, right? And she was like, yeah, I mean, like, people bleed in here. I was like, okay, check, please. And I get up, and I go into the cab, and I get into the cab to go back to the hotel, and the cabbie goes, so how was it in there? Was it a great strip club? I go, yeah, man. It's a case of the old ketchup pants. And he goes verbatim, and he goes, I feel that. I go, oh, what? Is this place known for their semi-bloody ketchup stained?
Now, Vegas is one of those places where you have all these options.
Yeah.
You there's always like
too many.
Yeah. You can do absolutely anything. You can go see Celine Dion. You can go to a buffet. I saw some car that was like, come shoot zombies in our giant truck. And I'm like,
this is a real thing. Have you done it, sir?
You've seen it. So you can literally
What's
do anything.
What's that mean? What do you mean you shoot zombies? What does that mean?
I think they take you out to a field with a little like paintball gun. You shoot people walking towards you slowly. You don't know if they're zombies or if they're just women on a walk of shame the next day from their hotel room.
You just get the
just walking towards you like, yeah.
That could feel good, I guess.
Yeah. But a common game that I don't know if everyone plays this or just guys, but is Would You Rather? And that's where you offer two choices and you have to pick one. So now.
Yeah, have you ever, by the way, the first time I was introduced to that game was from an ex-girlfriend. We were laying in bed and we were having pillow talk. And she was like, so would you rather die by getting lit on fire or being drowned alive? And I was like, what are you fucking planning? Well, those are the options right now. Can't we talk about shows we want to watch?
And why is Dateline NBC always on in your house? Like, you're definitely planning some shit.
And what is that bazooka doing there? All right, so Brad, you're going to present us each with some options.
Yeah.
First of all, can we get a Would You Rather theme song?
Would you rather this or that? Get ready for a bunch of weird references.
There we
Come
go.
On, he hey, just made that up.
I just said that.
Some
that
of you pause like, that's the song? He just came up with it.
Like, listen, rehearsed that.
Jesus.
Here's the problem. It's okay. it's no fuck Reno. That's the problem. You guys had you your Back in Black album, set it too high, now you're starting to... Next release wasn't bad, but it wasn't no Back in Black. You know what I'm saying?
All right. Gentlemen, would you rather fight a strip club bouncer because your boy touched a girl, or get locked out of your room naked and have to go to the lobby to get another key?
Ooh,
it's a good one. You're all thinking of your answers right now. What would you do in that scenario? Ryan Sickler, I defer to you.
I would fight the strip club bouncer.
You wow.
I would definitely.
Because you're confident in your fight skills? Or?
I've been in a lot of fights, and I feel like I can, even if I lose, you're not walking away the same man. I promise you that. Like, I might be in the hospital for 3 weeks, but that left ear is gone. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Adam Ray.
What was the second option again?
You get locked out of your room, but you're naked, so you have to walk down the lobby to get another key, but you're naked.
I like that you have to walk.
Or run.
Oh, okay.
Or now, skip. I don't know.
Now, I feel like if you're naked, it's already weird. So at that point, anything else you do on top of that isn't really going to, like, negate the nakedness. So maybe, you know.
I just think that's a great sound of a name of a romance novel. Negate the nakedness. With Fabio on the cover.
Like, is there a restriction on what you can and can't do as you're walking down to get...
Well, I mean, you can't, like, what jerk off in the flowers.
Like. No, like, what he just wants to stop and get a USA Today, for Christ's sake. That's all he wants. He wants to see the fucking sports section. Well,
now there are another limitations.
Today.
I would take that. Yeah,
it's a weekend paper, for Christ's sake.
I also feel like, you know, that's a great memory for this. You know, the same way that, like, Tom Hanks or Bill Murray show up at, like, weddings unexpectedly. Like, I'd be like the naked guy in Vegas, and, like, I'd stop and take photos, make people's day, or fucking ruin their wedding, depending on what's happening at that hotel. Yeah, I'd like go with that option.
All right,
Avery.
I avoid conflict at all costs. So I just don't want to get hit. I'm scared. I got hit once and I walked away. I was a senior and I got hit by a freshman.
What did he say when he hit you?
He took your lunch money?
He was just... I had flicked a cigarette accidentally hitting him. I'm very...
Even this story you don't want to tell at all. You're that...
I know. I just... Yeah. And then he's like, well, this is for the cigarette. And then he punched me. And then I turned around and I said I was sorry. So...
Now, you grew up
in... I would do the naked walk thing.
You grew up in Toronto. Is there a difference in, like, a... You know, a Canadian fight versus an American fight?
Yeah, very... We hit each other and then apologized.
I'm sorry I beat you up, dearie, you know, you flicked a cigarette at me, and I can't just let that go, I had to hit you.
I feel really bad about this, but kaplow! There's a lot of Batman-themed...
I feel that's like what every Canadian says as they're punching someone, just kaplow, dearie.
It's a lot of oopsie-doodles,
whoopsie-doodles, poutine!
Yeah. Oh, no, that's just...
The 1967 Batman in Canada had those instead of, like, the bow, pam, pam. What the fuck? Cooking spray, Brad? Good job with that reference.
There you go.
Pam.
Here's a ham sandwich and
Pam,
some cooking
Lysol. Lysol.
Just breathe, motherfucker.
Batman's gotten really heavy with the product placement.
Ray.
Snapple.
Well.
Diet Dr. Shasta. Wait, Dr. Pepper, not Dr. Shasta.
Hey, I went with it.
You might want to start that, Dr. Shasta.
Dr. Shasta. Worst pimp name ever.
And because I have a huge cock, I would walk naked to the lobby. Oh, nice. And
prove it.
And just get the respect from everybody. That's what I would do. It might drag along the way. I'd get some dust on it. But
dust.
Yeah. That would be my thing.
All that casino floor dust. Hey, by the way, look, I know I'm locked out of my room, but man, these floors are fucking filthy. Look at the dust on my dick.
Guys, Ryan Sigler, make some noise for him real quick. The great Ryan Sigler.
Yeah.
You're the fucking greatest, man. Check out his podcast, The Crab Feast. Get on iTunes.
Yes.
He's the fucking man.
All right. But wait, there's more. We have more fantastic guests for you. And yeah, and this next guest has been on Conan, one of the best comics out there. Everyone loves her. Everyone loves watching her. Please give it up, ladies and gentlemen, for Miss Beth Stelling, everybody.
Come on! From Comedy Central.
Yeah.
She's a writer on this season of Crashing on HBO. She's here, we think.
Is she?
Yes. Maybe we'll grab her from the back.
Possibly.
I'm vamping, waiting for best-selling.
It's the waiting for best-selling song. Hopefully she's here. Hopefully she didn't leave. But if she did, we'll figure it out.
Just gotta
we'll bring up Paul's mom and talk to her about cleaning house and about taking us to the strip club later.
There she is.
There she is. Best Selling, everyone.
Yeah.
Coffee and purse in hand. Two purses.
There you go.
Hey.
Guys, Best Selling litter here. Come on, huh?
Right on time. Oh, man. I always get nervous when a woman is late.
Nice.
Nice little pregnancy pun. All right.
I like that.
I like that I compliment myself. You're an idiot, Brad. Okay.
Beth, can we ask where you were?
Sure. I was in the back for a while.
Yeah.
I felt like we were running late.
Okay.
I was in a bikini.
Ooh.
Hey.
Yeah.
Slow down.
Jesus, wait a minute. Could we have reacted more pervy right there?
like we've never seen a girl in a bikini before. Like, ooh.
Yeah,
what's that like?
Go on.
You never seen this girl in a bikini.
Oh, yeah.
She's quite
so that's why. So then I figured, hey, I have time to run home and change into regular clothes.
Yeah.
Home to LA?
No, across the street to where I'm staying.
Okay.
And I didn't know you guys were going to be pilots and make up time in the air. And here I am.
Well, you made it.
But
thank
I am
you.
In regular clothes. I'm wearing the old-fashioned type bra. A real one.
A real bra, as opposed to a fake bra?
It's an ace bandage, but yeah. Yeah.
You could say anything, and I would be like, yeah, all right, that makes perfect sense. Like, no, we just wrap them in duct tape.
Yeah,
that's all we do.
I have wrapped them in duct tape, just from here to here. I used to work at this bagel shop and in college, and we would do aprons only night. So we would serve bagels in just aprons, but you would want your tits to look good, so
naturally.
You would tape them together. So with the apron, you had a nice cleave instead of two saggy baggy boobies.
Saggy baggy boobies, I think, are playing at the T-Mobile Center next week.
They're really good.
They're opening up for Dashboard Confessional.
Yeah.
Wait, how was that? When did you work at a bagel shop?
Most of my life. I grew up. No. Okay. from probably 19 to 24.
Okay.
And
was this a common thing for it to be like, hey, we're going to dress slutty and serve you bagels? Like,
yeah. I mean, sales went up, you know.
Yeah.
As well as
boners. It's a genius
move.
More businesses could take note of that. You know?
Well, it was in college. A lot more gets away in college. Like, there's not health inspectors in a major city, you know, in this small town college.
Right. No.
I think if they walked in, we would have been shut down immediately. Yeah, just for...
Right. Although, well, like, yeah.
This was what has been 2003, 2007 is when I went to school. So it was like not a bushy time, you know. So it was not like... It's not like that was an issue. It was just that we left the cream cheese out too long because no one was caring, you know, about your health. But we did care about tips. And I made a sign that said just a tip, and we thought that was the funniest thing of
that
all time.
That is funny.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, when were guys working there as well, or was this just girls?
We had a delivery guy, and he did naked deliveries.
Nice.
Wow.
Wait,
so we would have we would all of a sudden just decide it was aprons only if we needed extra cash. And then we would get more tips. Now, this bagel shop was called Bagel and Deli in Oxford, Ohio. And it was open from, whatever in the morning, 8, I think. And then we stayed up until 3 a.m. So we had the whole drunk crowd happening. So we were drunk, too. And naked.
With bagels.
With knives, cutting bagels. And cream cheese.
See, I would think if there was a dude there, he'd be like, let me get a bone and you can toss bagels on it.
Mm-hmm.
Or is that just me?
Well,
I think so. You're the only bagel
pervert.
Most
people don't want to admit that their dick fits in a bagel hole, you know? But, yeah.
Touché.
Brad Williams, old ring toss.
The ring worst toss Parker Williams. Brothers game ever. Brad Williams dick bagel toss game.
No, but it's a really big bagel, guys.
It's a really big
bagel.
Sure it is. Sure it is.
It's like, it's an everything bagel, and I mean everything. Even dwarf cock. They don't say what's not on the everything bagel. You could be like, yeah, there's sperm on my bagel. It's an everything bagel, sir. That's what happens. Beth, you have a Netflix special coming out. When does it come out?
July 4th.
Good time. So it's like nothing says America.
Like me.
Like a girl who's had her tits taped together in a bagel shop.
Exactly.
Telling you jokes. Now, are you wearing that same outfit in your special?
No, I've taken a more army jacket approach.
Is there America themes to the special? Or what was that date just picked?
I think that I've had little to no control. So,
but you had control over the content of the special.
The content, of course, I wrote it. Yeah. Sometimes it's a female comic. A lot of people were like, "Who's your writer?" And I'm like, "Oh no, I can do it." Yeah, I did it myself.
Is your little woman brain? Did you write those jokes?
Look at you.
So cute.
Yes, that's so cute. I wrote all my jokes by myself.
Yeah, come on.
But that being said, I do date a comic, and I should give him credit. We like to sometimes tag each other's jokes.
That's so
Sam
great.
Morrell.
Is that what you call it? Yeah. Tagging each other's jokes.
Yes, we do. Tagging that.
Sometimes
ass.
Three times a day.
Yeah, sometimes in his head, that's the appropriate amount. But
wait, how is that dating a comic?
You know,
great, right?
I mean, it's awful. So I think, you can convince yourself of anything. You know, you can just be like, oh, it's better to date a comic because they get it, and you know, you don't have to come home. You can cancel anything for a show. No, you can convince yourself the other way too. It's better to not date a comic. You have a normal life, so they can tell you when you're being a doucher. You know.
Mm-hmm. Now,
and then there's competition, which I'm not. Sam is so supportive, so it's never like he's never like upset with. He's always very supportive, so I don't. Mm-hmm. I can't really even say the competition thing comes into play with us because it doesn't. But who's to know? Who? What if he? You know? What if something happens to either of us where we don't? Nothing happens. He become bitter and then hate the other person and then. Okay, so that's the plan. And
was he pumped?
Everybody got quiet and worried.
Like, super real.
What if nothing comes of the Netflix special? Well, nobody likes it, and then I turn into what are those people called that are trapped in their house?
Brad Williams.
Yeah.
No, because the doorknob is really fucking high.
A hermit.
That and a baby gate. That's your kryptonite.
That sucks that my fiance could literally trap me in my house. Like she would.
Have you ever thought of that?
Now she's listening.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, fuck. That's all I got to do is put on a little chain link, and then Brad's not getting out for the day.
That's awful.
That can literally happen. I'm terrified now.
Jasmine, don't do that.
Wait, how did Sam react when he knew you were coming to Vegas? Just because the vibe of Vegas, was he like, don't get involved in any crazy shit? Or was he like, live it up?
I think I got a text last night when we were headed to Spearmint Rhino, like, be careful.
What, you might become a stripper?
Yeah. Las Vegas.
Don't get inspired.
Well, yeah, like you're going to walk in and be like, well, I perform on a stage. That's a stage. It's a logical jump.
I do have my bagel apron in my purse.
Does anybody have any duct tape? I can do that.
That's right. No. Come to the main stage. It's Beth, everybody. She's got bagels, but she's totally kosher, if you know what I mean.
Crystal Beth, I think.
Crystal Beth?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like now that. You have to do it.
Yeah.
That's a great name.
You know, I will brag. On the way to the buffet, there was a pole in our bus, and I was able to do some moves that were very impressive.
Nice.
There was.
Instead of embracing the sexiness, as I slid down it, I just slowly went down like this. So, yeah, I can't take anything seriously. And
well, they have classes, right? A lot of girls,
yeah,
have you ever done one of those?
It's difficult to do. You know, you can say, you can look at those women up there and be like, I can do it, but it's very difficult.
Yeah.
It's also difficult to tell a lot of people that you're taking that class and then for not to immediately judge you, like, for a career option. Like, no, it's really good for the forearms.
Yeah. I bet.
Can I come watch a class? I'm going to audit a class. I'm coming to audit the class.
Now, you were on the jet coming up? No, I came from New York.
I was supposed to come from LA, and then I came from New York.
You're in New York?
Too? But it's because I ran. But is it hot in here?
Is it hot in here?
Is
shit.
Is
AC going?
Thank God. Well, I just took a shower, too. And so you know how you get it sweaty after a shower and then you can't stop sweating?
Yeah.
Especially what? If you put lotion on. That's what I'm dealing with right now. But then I wasn't sure. Are we premenopausal? What's happening to us? You know what I mean? You're after.
Wow. Yeah. She just yelled out, oh, no, I am full-blown menopausal right now. Which makes me, thank God you're in the front row.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel this could turn at any point. And
full-blown.
Well, because men, like, I don't know what menopausal really means. So you can, like, stand up and be like, no, in 15 minutes I have to sacrifice a midget.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, well, fuck.
Yeah, we need the blood from
menopause
a dwarf.
Menopause is basically shedding your inner self out of your pussy. And then. You never see her again. There's hot times. There's cold times. Sometimes Jesus. You hate your husband, and then you keep hating your husband. Yeah.
Is there a dude equivalent to menopause? Losing the big game?
Yeah, when your team loses a Super Bowl. You're like, oh, God. That hurts.
No, not even close.
No?
Okay. No.
Midlife crisis? I don't know. You go on the Atkins diet, buy a motorcycle. No.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Wait, so you came from New York because you're out there writing on Crashing.
Season 2.
That's the Pete Holmes season 2 show
Pete
on
Holmes
HBO.
Show, HBO. Yeah. Now, he has a lot of comics on the writing staff. Any stories directly from your life end up in season 1?
I'm trying to think of any specifics. I mean, there's my jokes in there, but
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of specific stories.
Now, but like, did you come up in New York? Did you have to be a barker at any point?
No, because I started in Chicago. So like a teensy bit of it underneath the train or something, you know, but it was rare. Like, I did some bringer shows early on. I would fly to New York early on, too, like my first 3 years. Mm-hmm. And I remember doing comics, and that was a bringer room. So I definitely experienced that sort of being taken advantage of. And, you know... I didn't, like I said, maybe barking once or twice, nothing like that. But also dating Sam helps too, just because I know he came up when he started 18 in New York. And so, like, he did have to bark and he went through all
that. He's got
a lot
of personal stories to share with you that might help.
Right.
What is the writer's room like? Because it's mostly comics,
comics? Yeah, it's so season 2 changed a little bit. We've got Greg Fitzsimmons, who's a rock
star. Fitzdog,
Ian Edwards is in the room. He's been doing stand up so long too. Jamie Lee. Me, Judah Miller's our head writer, Oren Brimmer, and Pete Holmes. That's all of us. And Emily Gordon actually popped in every now and then. She wrote The Big Sick. She's married to Camille Nanjiani. But anyway, she's a great writer too, so she popped in.
Is there ever any apprehension to, like, when you're trying to pitch a story or a joke, like, is it all very... encouraging, or is there, like, does it get to a point to where we're all still comics, everyone's kind of assessing and judging what you're throwing out?
No, nothing like that.
It's very supportive.
If anything, the only thing you would hold, I don't hold back.
Yeah.
Like, in the next season, there's a character that's, you know, definitely drawn from my experiences for sure.
So she walks out with the apron.
Yeah. She starts in a bagel shop. Yeah.
And who has a Netflix special coming out on July 4th?
Yeah, I wrote that into the script.
Fantastic.
It comes out a year after it comes back.
I want to ask you about something that I saw on your Instagram recently. You had a picture of yourself and a lot of girls playing field hockey.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Is that
in the game, baby.
Is that your hobby? Like, do you play field hockey?
Yeah, I played started in third grade. Yeah.
Okay. Because I know nothing about field hockey. I just know it's like girls running around with sticks, and I should have an erection, but I shouldn't.
Yeah, but you should, but they're not interested in you. You basically have... you know.
Well, there goes the erection.
You play it with a long stick. You usually judge it by it comes up to about your hip. One side's flat, one side's curved. I'm tall, so you have to get really low to eat all the pussy. And it's a quick game. You have these sort of cages or the goals. The way games that I play are more pickup games.
Yeah.
And so there's no goalie. There might be a sweeper or something like that. And it's a no-hit league. But you can push pretty fast on turf. I got slammed. You can see that bump on my hand.
Damn. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got slammed between two sticks. So things get a little sassy out there.
What's the shit-talking in field hockey like?
After it was an older woman that did this. And I don't know. The rules have changed since I left. And so I don't know. I think I was doing something that was bothering her.
Yeah.
And I think she said something like, you did it again after my hand had slammed in between two sticks. I go, well, you hurt my hand really bad, and And if that makes you feel better, and I think it might. So that's the kind of shit talk.
So you shit real talk like you're in a Midwestern 1950s stuff. Sitcom? Like,
yeah.
And there's meatloaf on the counter.
I start embodying my mother. And yeah. No, there's not really shit talking. Everybody's pretty. We're there to have fun.
Is that kind of your break? Like, I'm always curious with comics, like that thing that like you just do that is like a complete break from the business and stand
yes.
up, and you're not doing it for material. It's just like an actual.
Right. Sometimes material comes from it. I did knee myself in my own tit, and I felt like, well, how'd that get down there? You know, well, I think it was a lunge situation. You know, they're not that bad. Man. They look great. They're duct taped right now to my neck. I just have one. They go back over my shoulders.
I mean, I guess that can't happen. I played roller hockey as a kid, and there was one time when I was skating and my stick like jammed into the ground, and the shaft, ladies, just jammed right in the balls.
Even worse.
Yeah. And then, like, I remember I fell down and I yelled out, "I'm a dick!" And, like, I was 10, so everyone's like, "Whoa, wait!" Like everyone was like freaking out. Like, are we supposed to laugh? Are we supposed to be concerned?
Should we make a wish?
Yeah. Like, a dwarf just hit his dick. Like, is a rainbow about to like shoot out of it right now? Like, is that gonna happen? But yeah, like, those kind of injuries can occur. And now, are there other comics in the league, or are you
the only
comedian?
No, I just started. I started playing in January in LA, just because after I've been doing stand up now for 10 years, and I think you get to a point where you're like, I have to remember what else makes me happy, and
yeah.
like find things outside of it, and
yep.
Also do things that you did as a kid just to remember like what things were like to have joy. And also team sports are great, you know. There's something to be said about the camaraderie of that. Mm-hmm. However, the girls in LA I don't really connect with. There's a lot of...
What's that?
Yeah, well, they're like 22 and just out of Duke, and I feel like they have a chip on their shoulder. The point is...
you hear that, Mike Krzyzewski?
They're very...
Fuck
they're
your
very
school.
Fast. I feel old. I'm coughing up blood and tasting coins. So it's been a lot for me, but I have... My fitness has gotten a little bit better as I've started. And then since I moved to New York for crashing, I found a league in New York, and I like everybody. It's co-ed.
Okay.
And it's a smaller field, so I'm not having to run as much, which is a pure delight. I don't try to be funny,
mm-hmm.
so that's the thing. One time I did get hit, and I said, Shiza Minnelli, and that did get a laugh, I'm not going to lie. But, and later, after I stopped talking to them, what?
I was just telling them something.
Oh, yeah, after I stopped talking to them, one girl was like, "Oh, you're Shiza Minnelli." So that's kind of how they know.
That's your nickname now.
That, yeah, in LA, but I've left them.
I feel
the dust.
Now I really want you to meet Liza Minnelli just so you can have that moment of my nickname is Shiza Minnelli, and then she'll just stare at you like, "Okay, restraining order." Now you could have said absolutely anything about field hockey, and both Adam and I would have believed it because we don't know the rules.
Right.
But Adam in general. We'll believe anything.
Yeah, very gullible.
Yeah. Now, what's the story that spawned this game?
So my folks split when I was 9. Thanks for bringing that up.
Yep.
And
you brought it up.
And I was on the playground, and a kid came up to me who had, I guess, gotten wind of the news. And was like, "Hey, I heard your parents just got back together." And I was like, "Oh shit, hell yeah!"
Like.
Yeah. And then I went back home, and I was like, "Mom, is he so great?" And she's like, "What is?" I go, "You and Dad." She goes, "No, fuck that asshole." And I was like, "Oh." What?
No.
Yeah. So gullible. And to this day, though, that so I told Brad that story, and he goes, "Are you still that gullible?" And I go, "I think so." And then he read me some news stories and that were like crazy, and they were not real, but I got like really emotionally invested in them.
Yeah.
Like the story of like a guy in Thailand who like had a python come up through the toilet and bite his dick. And
yeah.
I was like, "Oh no." He was like, "I know, you should feel bad because it's not even real."
Yeah, the best one was like, "No, they discovered a unicorn." And I was like, "They discovered a what does it poops look like?" And then I was like, "No, that's not a fake. That's not a real story." Wow, yeah. That was a lot of word gibberish that I just
sometimes
shot out
it
there.
Happens,
you sound like Celine Dion in between songs.
And then there was a unicorn. So we're going to play a game right now called What Will Adam Believe?
What will Adam believe?
He's super gullible.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
On the spot theme songs.
Now.
Yes.
You know what? And this is what I love about Avery's theme songs. They're inspired by, like, the 90s generation. Because, like, you know, that's what, like, the old theme songs,
Yeah, with like messages and because you know what the theme song to The Voice is right now?
What?
This is The Voice. Four fucking notes. That's it. Very lazy. All right. So let's pull up a story.
There yeah. should be a comedian The Voice.
There should be. Well, Carson right? Daly.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I mean you. I want you to go on there.
Yeah.
Moving along.
Now, Beth, you could absolutely play too. I'm gonna ask a question, yeah. and then Adam's gonna. Which one? Now, which of these places in Vegas is a real place? Is it the Pinball Hall of Fame, the Elvis Presley Belt Museum, or Cricket Corner, a restaurant that specializes in bug cuisine?
Am I first?
Absolutely.
Pinball, Elvis, or Cricket Corner?
Yes.
I feel like people are so diehard Elvis in the city. You know, like there could be an Elvis, you know, pube museum. And the fact that not everybody laughs makes me think there is. And some people are like, it's actually a very fine establishment. And the only place that lets you take pictures with the memorabilia.
They let you take a picture going like this.
For our listeners, Beth was acting like she was holding a pube in her mouth. Yes. Was that a pube or an old-timey cigarette?
Just picking it out
yeah,
of
picking it out.
Like a lady.
Yes.
yeah, I feel like the amount of Elvis fandom is still alive. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, the king, you're the king. People love everything about you, including your belts.
Okay.
So I'm going to say... B, Elvis Belt Museum, final answer.
All right, and then Beth?
Wait, people are shaking their heads.
Dude, I'm going to go help. With...
Don't be so insecure, Adam.
I also feel like they're all real things.
Yeah, I feel like pinball's real, but I'm going with Cricket Corner.
Okay. Why?
Because I think it's a place. But I think the pinball place is real, too, but it's Cricket Corner.
Well, the answer, ladies
wait,
and gentlemen.
What does Avery think?
Yeah, Avery?
Cricket Corner lives in all of us, so it's real.
Cricket Corner, by the way, sounds like a great Saturday morning cartoon. Like, you would absolutely watch Cricket Corner. Oh,
yeah. One Cricket Corner.
Exactly.
That's the address.
The real answer is the Pinball Hall of Fame wow. is real, ladies and gentlemen. Which... By the way, you better be able to play pinball when you go there, because if it's just looking at machines, I fucking hate those people. You can? All right.
Oh, cool.
We will not burn it down tonight. All right.
By the way, at least four people are going to Google Elvis Pube Museum when they leave tonight. Guys, give it up for Best Selling. July 4th, our Netflix special. Watch Crashing on HBO.
Thank you.
You're the greatest.
Thank you, Beth.
Thank you, Beth.
Absolutely. Gather your things. Okay, darling.
There she goes. One more time. The great Best Selling. Let her hear. Come on.
Saying hi to everyone in the front row. Wonderful. Well, we have one more guest for you guys tonight. And first of all, thank you for coming out.
Yeah,
I hope
it up
you
guys are having
as
come
much
on.
Fun as we're
the
having.
Last day of the Crapshoot Comedy Festival. We will be back. Our last guest has a Netflix special called Ugly and Afraid. You know him from Last Comic Standing from Comedy Central. Give it up for the one and only, our buddy, Chris Porter!
Yeah. Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
Chris Porter, everybody. Come on. Clap hey. It up. You just
hello.
Clapped it up. Clap it up again.
Hello, hello, hello.
Chris, now the last time you were on this podcast was our last live podcast
yeah.
at the Moon Tower Comedy Festival,
yeah.
which is not as good as the Crapshoot Comedy Festival.
No, God damn right it's not.
Unless they're listening, in which case, please book me again. That was a lot of fun.
Chris and I are fresh off a, not even, I guess, 24 hours ago, where we went to a place called Don't Tell Mamas.
That's correct.
Yeah, a karaoke piano bar.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, a lot of fun. To where, look, I don't know how many piano karaoke bars you've been into, but this one was a very intimate bar, and so by the size and I guess the layout, you wouldn't expect the talent to be as incredible as it was.
As thick as it was.
Yes.
But those people were there every night. A lot of them worked there,
yeah.
to be honest.
Yeah.
And then there were people that just didn't pass the psych test. And they're like, you can hang out, but we can't have you on the payroll. And like the bartender, who was super nice
yeah.
and a good bartender, then sang Etta James note for note.
Wow.
Like, even with the... her cowl and whatever, like, just crushed it.
Yeah.
And then I went up and fumbled through Desperado.
You're amazing. Fumbled is not the word I would use. Destroyed.
Oh, well, thank you. Like a toilet. I had to wipe up the seat. Anyway, the point is...
Well, also, let's be honest. You followed a gentleman dressed as a cat singing Britney Spears' Toxic as a ballad.
Yeah, it's like a low-key, like... Not even a ballad. Like, yeah. I want to fuck you.
As a cat.
Yeah.
Like, by the way, drink four for the very first guy singing Britney Spears in a cat costume reference.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that's what this bar offers, though. Like, you never know what you're going to get.
Well, the best part was he had a pleather suit.
Yeah.
And it was, and I said pleather, and he was wearing jeans underneath it, and the pleather suit was so tight that you could see the jeans. I'm like, grow some balls.
Well, he can't. The pants are too tight.
Grow some balls, you pussy.
Yeah.
Well, cat, cat. That... All right, yeah. Jesus, no, man. Right. I thought that was going to...
Also balls.
And you've had an interesting time here because in addition to just hanging out and doing your shows and doing all the festivities that the comics have been doing,
yeah.
You got to hang out with the next president of the United States, Kid Rock.
Yeah. I did do that.
Yeah.
He's a buddy. He liked my Netflix special, Ugly and Angry. And you said Ugly and Afraid.
Oh, yeah, my bad. Ugly and Angry.
Ugly and Afraid was terrible. Ugly and Afraid. It's just me in a corner going, I don't like it. I don't like it.
That was a good special, too. It was real.
I watched it. Three-star rating.
Bob found, his real name's Bob, and I call him Bob because I have a problem calling people Kid Rock. And
where does that name come from?
That was just, like, he was a rapper when he first started, so he was, but he also DJ'd, like, he would throw in like Zeppelin and all that shit, so he was like Kid Rock. And
then he grew to be over 40, and it doesn't make a lot of sense right now.
Yeah, now he's just like, I'm Kid Rock, the country guy that also raps.
And visits the White House
and makes millions and fucking millions
still
of dollars.
Yeah.
Dude, he took me to lunch today at Hooters, and I'm like, why are we going to Hooters? He goes, because I have a card that says we get to eat for free for life.
Oh, my God.
What? What?
Those exist?
Well, if you're Kid Rock, they do. They're not handing them out because you were the 50th customer that day. Like, oh, Tammy fucking spit in your ranch? Here you go. No, like, you got... You had to have written cowboy. Then you get that ticket.
Did he like shout them out at any point?
He did a promo for him.
Is like Bawadaba Slovakian for Hooters or some shit?
Like this dude, like, listen, I've hung out with some superstars, but this guy, he's got a car that the serial number is American Badass.
Serial number.
The legal, like the thing, like, you know, the VIN number?
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing that on all of our cars is like 8Q749QJ11.
Yeah. Oh,
his just says fucking American Badass. Yeah. So
how do
don't
you get away with that.
Also, what if you stole that car? And you're like, hey, we gotta sand off the VIN. And you're like, I think we're fucked. Because I don't think it's going to matter. They're going to find this one.
Wait, so he hit you up after seeing your special and was just like, let's be best friends?
He booked me on his cruise.
Mm-hmm. A Kid Rock cruise?
There's a Kid Rock cruise. Like, you do the New Kids cruise.
Yeah, I've been on the New Kids on the Block cruise twice.
Yeah. And I did the...
Jealous?
Yeah. And I did the classic rock cruise where I entertained a lot of people who died within 3 weeks after that thing, Doc.
Yeah.
What was the mean age of that cruise?
Oh, at least 72.
And like, then the next year, a guy that was playing died mid-song.
What?
Yeah. The year after I did the classic rock cruise, the drummer from Boston, mid-song, heart attack and died
on the
cruise. Thank you for laughing, ma'am.
That's hilarious.
And the rest of the band just went, okay, we're acoustic from now on. All right.
Time to adjust.
So they're just trying to kick him off. We still got five more songs. You're not ruining this, Dave.
How can you die before more than a feeling, you selfish asshole?
The buffet stays open. We keep playing.
So he books me, and I just figured someone called my agency and was like, hey, we need a comic. And they're like, well, this guy might work. But it turned out that he was like a fan. And he booked me, like, personally.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, like, I get to the show, or I get to the cruise, and the first show's him. And so I try to go back. I got an artist pass. I'm like, I'm going backstage. And they're like, no, not during Kid Rock, you're not.
Whoa.
And I'm like, well, fuck this. So, later on in the evening, I went to another show, because I didn't go on till like 2 days in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I just went to another show, and he showed up. And I'm like, well, if this motherfucker is such a big fan... I'll just go stand behind him. He'll come to me. And fuck you, Kid Rock. No. I went and I did. I stood behind him and his entourage. And about 10 minutes into it, he's talking to his girl. And out of the corner of my eye, he kind of looks at me. He goes, hey, you, get over here. And we've been friends ever since.
That's a beautiful story.
Next thing I know, I get this like key. To this, like, floor, this, like, private floor. Like, you know, kind of like the thing we have here, the little penthouse thing? Mm-hmm. We had that, but it was just Kid Rock and all these people hanging out.
Oh, my God.
So, like, tons of bitches, right? Why did I have a twang when I said that? Yeah. What the fuck?
Tons of bitches.
Why did that? Tons of bitches, you know what I'm saying? I tell you what, there may be bitches on Kid Rock Cruise.
Is that still your Filipino voice?
Yeah.
It's a good thing we have wireless mics because it's hard to hear you from your Trans Am.
Bitches and Mountain Dew. That's what I do, man.
Quiet in here. Is there a Trans Am club here tonight? I'm sorry.
Is there a Trans Am meeting happening in here afterwards?
So, yeah, like we became fast friends, and then like we do the cruise, and he's like the coolest guy in the world. I've hung out with some lead singers of some bands, and a couple of them are dicks. But you're like, you can be a dick. You wrote some of my most favorite songs.
We get it. You love Nickelback.
Right. And but Nickelback are dicks. So and so like I
so you I'm were shocked with, at how like at
just
sweet
how
he was.
Fucking genuine yeah. and cool he was. He's just like and he
Does
like
he love comedy?
Loves comedy. He has Eleanor Kerrigan on his cruise now.
Amazing.
And like all his girlfriend does is quote her fucking act the entire time.
Wow.
But like we had lunch today and like we're all just busting his balls because like we're trying to be cool. We're at a Hooters.
Yeah.
We're not in the corner and we're like trying not for people to know that Kid Rock is here.
Yeah.
And meanwhile he's singing. Like he's just like, oh, I love this song. I'm like, you know what? Why don't we just fire off some fucking pyro and you can do a matinee? I don't have time for 800 pictures, motherfucker. I'm trying to get wings.
And I hadn't planned on a Hooters acapella.
Absolutely, or nor do I want to do your meet and greet.
By the way,
do people bombard him all the time?
Well, no. We were fine until he started belting out show tunes. And then everyone's like, who's this asshole? And they're like, oh, I fucking have that asshole's album. And like, and it's like, you know, he's a fucking icon.
Yeah.
And so people are literally just like, can my son take a picture with you? And the kid's fucking shaking, and Bob's just like a person. Yeah. And so he's like, fucking enjoy it. Have a good time. Yeah. And the guy's like, I am enjoying it. I'm just freaking the fuck out right now. And yeah, so, but he's just like the coolest dude in the world, but it is sometimes.
See, like, Kid Rock at a Hooters, to me, if I walked into a Hooters and Kid Rock was there, I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense.
Absolutely. Okay,
you know? Like, yeah, but still, you're still starstruck, though. Yeah. Like, seeing us, you know, but somebody famous.
Yeah, if I, like, saw Elton John in a Hooters, I'd be like, all right, now we got to stop it. Look at this situation.
He must have a card where he gets free Hooters, because there's no reason he'd be here.
I was not expecting this.
Or, like, Halle Berry at a Panera Bread. You'd be like, all right, well, this doesn't add up.
Yeah, it does. What's she done lately?
Throwing shade on Halle Berry.
What is her fan club here? All right.
Trans Am at 6:30. Halle Berry fan club at 7:30.
I never thought the Trans Am club and the Halle Berry fan club would ever meet.
Yeah. It's a weird eHarmony function.
Porter, what is your favorite thing about being in Vegas other than getting to have fun meetups with your famous rock star buddies?
Nothing.
You're a good. I will say this about Chris Porter.
I don't
like. You're a fun hang everywhere. Like you have such a yes and mentality that I feel like you can go anywhere and make the best out of anything.
I have a good. It's because I'm with you guys though.
Yeah.
Like I'm with my friends, and that's we could be in fucking Topeka, and we'll make shit happen.
Cue sweet sentimental Full House music.
You know. It's you guys. I thought you knew. I mean, I know I don't say it every day. But I mean, I try.
I'm not emotionally available, and I would.
Chris Porter.
Even though
that you're friends with Kid Rock too,
that's the most important way that we love you.
I have a bar where the bar tramps down.
Will you ask if Bob will sign my mom's tits on her birthday?
He said he already did, and that it washed off before she could get to the tattoo place. And so she just watched the tattoo guy jerk off.
Again.
I didn't know tattoo guys jerked off in front of you.
It's extra, but it's worth it.
It's worth it. It's worth it.
Cause when a guy causes you that much pain, you wanna look in his eye and you wanna see shame. And that's what you see when he comes in front of you.
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 And he gets on your shoe.
Coming in front of
gets on your shoe.
Coming on your shoe.
Hope he's not a Jew.
Chris Porter,
ladies
unbelievable.
And gentlemen,
wow.
Chris Porter.
You guys, thank you so much for being here. Did you have a good time at the About Last Night podcast?
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Crapshoot and Zappos. One more time for Avery Pearson. Yeah. One more time for Ryan Ziegler and best selling Chris Porter. That's Brad Williams.
And I'm Adam Ray.
Thank you.
Good night. Avery's just going to keep playing now for a good 6.5 hours.
I'll be here for the next 4 shows.
Adam and I are going to be out there in case you guys want to take some pictures. We're going to run out. We'll take some pictures. The girl with the boobs who cheered, you'll get some DNA. Okay, good.
That's the show. Good night, everybody. Good night, Las Vegas.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it?
Sweet.
Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.